empowering activities for the children, or adults, or for anyone, if they want to amuse themselves. You would have guessed it that we're looking at Matthew chapter 1 today, and it's the genealogy of Jesus. And let me start by asking a question. Who has ever done their family tree? Okay. You found it interesting, exciting, or a mixture? Some really fun and exciting things, but also some sad things, some difficult things that may have come up. Sorry, Hazel, I haven't got any PowerPoint, so don't try and look for it. a few years ago, Jill very kindly started to unearth my family tree. And if you want to know anything about me, don't ask me, just ask Jill, okay? Because she knows more about my family than I do. But it's been quite extraordinary, and I'm really pleased she's taken the time to do it, because it's a lot of effort. But she's uncovered some amazing things that I knew nothing about. I didn't realize that on my grandmother's side, my great-great-great-grandfather was a shepherd in a village just out Saffron Walden. And I kind of like that, the fact that this guy was a shepherd. He looked after sheep. There's a kind of like a kind of play on that, isn't there? And then that his son then left the family home in his horse and cart and came down to London as a cartman, as basically a modern-day white van driver, delivering things. And then his son became a soldier, a full-time soldier. And I kind of like that too, the fact that I've got a shepherd, I've got a soldier, because they're all images and metaphors of God's people, I think. That shepherds, soldiers. And it's fascinating. I didn't know anything about that until Jill told me. And I like that. But also there's some sad stuff in there. There's some difficult stuff. On my grandfather's side, on the London side, I'm not sure we even discover who was who. I mean, you can't even go back to great-grandfather's great-great because it's so complicated and all messed up and mixed up. But that's life, isn't it? And that's family history. And I wonder if yours is probably pretty much the same. Certainly when you look at this, this was a mixture of incredible men and women of God, but also some real shockers in there. Some real surprises that you read about, or that we heard about when I read out that whole list of family members. But there are three things in particular about this family tree of Jesus that I just want to share with us briefly this morning. The first is that it's really important that we understand this, that this family tree is rooted in history. There was a survey done, my neighbour told me this yesterday, in the newspaper, I think it must have been on Friday, and they asked lots of children what they thought of Christmas and whether they'd had a good Christmas or not. And many of them said, yeah, they had a really good Christmas, lots of presents, lots of this, lots of that. And, you know, they were asked, would they change things? And they said, oh, yeah, maybe we'd do this or that. But there was one particular little girl who said, yes, she thought that Christmas was becoming far too religious and that they should get rid of it. And she was like 8 years old. And I thought, I wonder where she got that from. But you see, this genealogy of Jesus reminds us that it's not just a Christmas story. It's not like Santa Claus. It's not a myth. It's not a, you know, this is real. This history is real. Jesus was a real man who lived and breathed and died 2,000 years ago, and he was born into a real family. And for the Jews, the genealogies were so, so important. This list of names may be boring to us, and we tried to make it a little bit more exciting by doing it slightly differently, but, you know, to the Jews, it was really, really important. It was important because there were certain privileges that were reserved for certain tribes. Well, there were certain things that you could do if you were part of a certain tribe. If you wanted to be a priest, for example, you had to belong to the tribe of Levi. Depending on what tribe you were in, depending on what kind of military position that you had in the army. And certainly if you wanted to buy any piece of land whatsoever in Israel, you had to prove that you were Jewish. So all these important documents were there. King Herod was despised because he was half Edomite. So he wasn't fully Jewish. And supposedly he tried to destroy all the records so that they, you know, couldn't go on about this and prove that he wasn't fully blooded a Jew, as it were. So this was really important to them. And family is important, isn't it? It is. They say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And it's true, but family is still important. But this family was incredibly important because Matthew is demonstrating that Jesus, the Messiah, came from the line of King David. And all the Jews knew that. All the Jews knew that the Messiah was going to come from this certain royal line. And Matthew makes it clear that's exactly what happens. So it's important. The second thing is that it's a family tree that is open to all of us. You see, the most surprising thing about this family tree in that Matthew puts down is that there are women included in it. Because in Jesus' day, women wouldn't normally be included in the genealogy, which seems a bit strange, doesn't it? But it was because they were seen as second-class citizens. Now, that wouldn't happen today, because it's not true. It's not true at all. And we would find it most surprising and shocking if women weren't added into the genealogy. It wouldn't make much sense. The only reason you would do it in Jesus' day was if somehow you were trying to enhance the purity and the nobility of the family. So if that was the case, you would think, well, maybe Matthew should have put in Sarah or Rebecca or Rachel, you know, women of faith, women of kind of standing, as it were. But instead, he lists a number like Tamar, who had a very difficult, confusing life. Like Rahab, who wasn't even Jewish and was a prostitute. Or like Ruth, again, who wasn't even Jewish. These women didn't really bring credibility to Jesus' line, did they? They were outsiders. In some respects, you could say they even contaminated his bloodline, or if you wanted to go that far. But they certainly were outsiders. But what Matthew's doing here is this, that he's teaching us that God's love is bigger than the Jewish race. And he's teaching us that Jesus is the Savior of all people, not just a selected few. But he's the Savior of all mankind. And his family tree is open to all. All who call on the name of Jesus and put their trust in him. This was the promise that God made all those years earlier to Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Isaac and Jacob, that God's blessing would be upon their families and they would be a blessing to the nations of the world. So it's a family tree that's open to all. Thirdly, it's a family tree that demonstrates that God achieves his perfect purposes through imperfect people. You know, in that family genealogy, there's not one single person who's perfect. Many of them messed up big time. None of them are perfect, except for Jesus. But he used many of them to do incredible things. Outsiders, those who tried to follow him but didn't, completely messed up. And I hope that encourages us today. Because many of us think, well, okay, maybe as an outsider, I can just about scrape into becoming part of the family of God by putting my trust and faith in Jesus, but that's about the limit. He's not really got anything for me, certainly in this life. Because I'm not good enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not gifted enough. And yet the reality is this shows us that God takes ordinary, weak, unworthy people to fulfill his plans. Just have someone put this together. It said that if you feel unsure or you feel unworthy, then listen to some of the people who God used. It says that Moses stuttered. Amos' only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. David had an affair. Jacob was a liar. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. Oh, and so was Moses. Timothy had ulcers. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was a depressive. Elijah was burnt out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrier. Samson had long hair. Elisha had no hair. Noah got drunk. Oh, and did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? And so did Peter, Paul. Well, in fact, lots of them did, actually. And there's a whole list of some of those really famous, well-known men and women of God who were imperfect. And yet God used them to do incredible things. As we stand on the verge of saying goodbye to 1 year and moving into a new year, I want us to remember those three things. I want us to remember that what we believe in is real. That this family of Jesus is real. It's not a myth. It's as real today as has ever been, and it is as relevant today. The message of Jesus Christ is as real and as relevant today for the world and for you and for me as it's ever been. Secondly, his family is open to all. His family is open to each and every one of us here. And his family is open to each and every one of the people out in our community. God loves all. And it's important that we embrace that for ourselves. And it's important that we remember it when we are sharing the good news, when we are being good news to those in our community, that there are none who are excluded. His message of salvation, his message of good news was for all. Not just some, not just a few, but for all. All who call on his name. And then thirdly, as we move into 2009, be expectant that God wants to use you. Whoever you are, whatever gifts and talents you think you've got or haven't got, let me remind you, I've reminded you many times before, that I believe that each and every one of us, whoever we are, whatever our background, each of us have both natural gifts and talents and supernatural gifts and talents that God has given to us, and he wants us to invest in them for his kingdom and for his glory. He doesn't want us to say we're not good enough. He doesn't want us to say we're not worthy enough. He doesn't want us to be too afraid that we bury them, but that we invest them into the kingdom. And we see what he's going to do with it in 2019. But I'm so pleased that you're here and that you're part of God's family. But maybe today you're not sure if you are part of God's family. Maybe you're here this morning, and to be honest, hand on heart, you're not sure if you can say 100% that you know that you belong to the family of God. If that's you today, then I want to give you peace and assurance that the way that you can know that you know that you know that you know is by simply surrendering to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I don't understand all this. I don't get it all. I haven't worked it all out, but I do know this, that you were real, that you were born, that you lived, that you died, that you rose again, and one day you will come back again. And one day you say we will be with you forever. Help me to believe that. Help me to trust that. Help me to put my hand in your hand and to follow you and to trust you with my life. And please forgive me for all the things I've done that have put a barrier between you and me. Come and take them away and lead me on your path. If you believe that and you pray that, then the scriptures say that God is gracious and he welcomes you into his family. And you're adopted as a son or a daughter of the King. You're a child of God, not because of what you've done, not because of your birthright, but because of God's grace. He adds you to his family line. And one day, maybe someone will read a book out in wherever, and it will have your name in it. And people will laugh at what you've done, or cheer at what you've done. You are part of God's amazing big family. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, I thank you that you love each one of us, you care for each one of us. And Lord, that's the reason you came. Lord, thank you that what we read in the scriptures isn't myth, it's not a made-up story, it's not a fairy tale, it's true, it's real. Real people, real history, real lives, real good news, real gospel. And Lord, I pray.